There is hardly a day in our lives in which we do not experience something new and different. It may be just how we view our environment or see the changes of life play out before us. The changes may be within our own physical being or even in our own health and well-being. This is what makes life so interesting and even challenging. Each of these new or different experiences and how we incorporate them into our lives keeps us in a constant state of flux, whether we realize it or not. In some minor or even major way, we change from day to day. This makes it difficult to keep up with who we are as a creature on this planet. Therefore, the ever-enduring question of who we are may be a real challenge to answer. Who are we? Who am I? Thanks to Will, I came across a Facebook solution to this question of who am I? And this post was this past week. And by this post, it came up with a quick and easy answer to who am I. Evidently, they take your posts that you do throughout the year and sort of surmise it. And so they come up with this answer of who you are. So I found out that I love loyalty, hate liars, care about friendships, have a warm personality, and my lucky color is blue. According to Facebook, that's who I am. Now, how's that for a summation of who am I? Of course, similar glowing analysis is probably the same for countless numbers of other Facebook participants. You know, to continually know oneself may be one of the more challenging endeavors in life, simply because of the challenging outside influences and relationships. These influences and relationships may totally misinterpret who we may be through what we are trying to reveal about ourselves. Even with the best intentions to be open and honest, we still may be misinterpreted. Who are we? Who are we in light of our relationships? May them be in jeopardy. The problem is that we are all human beings with preconceived ideas, self-promoting egos, ears that only hear what they want to hear, eyes that see what they only want to see, and minds which bring past emotions, thoughts, and deeds to the table. These are the limitations of being human and the cause for many misinterpretations and misunderstandings of who we may actually be. The end result can bring tragedy in the form of confusion, heartache, despair, bitterness, and hatred. To truly reveal ourselves is far from an exacting science. It is highly subjective. Thus, it is difficult to find out who we are through the eyes of another person or even the Internet. Today is Trinity Sunday, the day in which we observe the early doctrine of the Trinity, or God as three persons in one, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. This doctrine sums up the biblical account of the revelation of God, who He was and is. It is about how God has chosen to reveal Himself to His creation, and specifically to mankind. But it also causes a lot of misinterpretations. It is interesting to note that God chose to reveal Himself over the thousands of years of mankind. And not just in the beginning, with one all-knowing revelation. This revelation of God continues to this very moment. He did not overwhelm mankind with a complete revelation to start out with, but chose to reveal only as much as mankind could handle at each particular time in history. This, of course, all began by revealing Himself as the creator of the earth, the universe, the creator of all creatures, the creator of mankind. Therefore, at first, He was the ultimate father figure, the creator. Isaiah stated, "You, O Lord, are our Father, our Redeemer. From of old is Your name." Now, as a father figure, He was seen as demanding respect, reverence, and awe for His great power over life. This is what is known in the Old Testament as the fear of God. For they could only understand God's revelation as presenting the vast unknown difference between God and man, and the unknown is dangerous and is fearful. But as Luther states in his small catechism, we must not only fear, but love God, since love is all important in the role of being a father. So God first revealed Himself as Father, the Creator, who out of love was seen to discipline His children and even display revenge upon those who would give harm to His children. Thus, mankind's understanding of this revelation caused him to fear God as well as to love Him as the Father and Creator of all things. But, as with many relationships based upon fear and love, fear has the power to dominate the relationship. This is exactly what happened with the Hebrews. They became overwhelmed with the fear factor, and thus saw God as the heavy-handed father of discipline and revenge. One only has to read the book of Job to see the response of Job's so-called friends during his painful set of circumstances. This limited and misinterpreted understanding of God's nature led him to reveal himself as a loving and forgiving God with his children. The only way to relate this love was to become man himself, the incarnation in the form of Jesus, the Son of God. Fear and revenge are revealed and maintained by placing a chasm in the relationship. This chasm, fear out of the unknown. On the other hand, love can only be revealed and experienced in a personal one-to-one relationship. This is why Jesus. Now, let me try to illustrate this by using a personal experience which I had many years ago. And I have shared this with you before. And you'll probably, some will probably immediately recognize this. Have you ever watched an ant colony? You know these, if you ever seen in the meadows, a big ant hill with all the ants scurrying around, etc. It is easy to observe their busy, regimented lifestyle. And in our observation, we also know that we have all the power over these tiny creatures, and we can readily destroy them. Now, we also will notice that if you disturb their pattern of their everyday life, or even cast a shadow over them, they will scurry in fear, seeking safety from this large, overwhelming power. Now, the problem is, you know, that in observing them, I may not have any intention whatsoever in doing those ants any harm. As a matter of fact, I just may see their role as important in nature and maybe even want to protect them. You know, I stretch a little further, I may even love them for what they are. But how can I relate this to them? How can I? In my human form, I cannot communicate my true intentions and relationships with them. I cannot. There's no way possible to do that. The only way I can communicate this is to become an ant myself. Think about it. Now, this may seem way out and ridiculous, but it is the exact situation which God must have faced. The only way to overcome the revenge and fear factor was to become man himself. Thereby, the question of who is God would take the next step of the revelation. It was a revelation of God as a God of love and forgiveness through the life and message of Jesus, the Son of God. So you have, this is the second so-called person of the Trinity. The second part of the revelation of God. Now, to have his revelation, remain in just this one point in time 2,000 years ago in Jesus' life and remain in that ancient society with its customs and traditions and limited accumulated knowledge would have placed serious limitations of really knowing a living God. To place him only in the Bible sense is to say that he is not here now. He will remain the Father Creator and the God who was revealed, who revealed his love and forgiveness to a certain group of people, frozen in time and irrelevant to an evolving history of society and mankind. God was and is not a God of only the past, but is a living God who continues to reveal himself, his love and his forgiveness to all generations, past, present, and future. He therefore had to reveal this fact. He did this with Jesus when he introduced this revelation by calling this continual presence of God the Advocate, the Holy Spirit. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another Advocate, the Holy Spirit, to be with you forever. You know him because he abides in you and he will be in you. God's revelation did not stop with the Bible, but it continues. He reveals himself to and through mankind throughout the ages. He was present and active to the early Hebrews, the early Christians, and the people like St. Francis and Martin Luther and Dietrich Bonhoeffer, as well as the great scientists and inventors of the world, doctors, nurses, medical researchers, teachers and clinicians, farmers, carpenters, plumbers, truck drivers, shopkeepers, and even ministers. He reveals himself through all of us. He is active. This is the Holy Spirit. Mankind's progress is a continuation of God's creative process and can only be seen as God's active presence within mankind. Of course, not all of his handiwork, of the handiwork of God's presence is good. Mankind has used the accumulated knowledge for not only good, but to promote his own self-interest and agendas. That's mankind's choice, not God's. But his presence is there. His presence is there if we see it and accept it. Now we have come full circle in God's revelation, in that his love, he must also exercise discipline and demand repentance when we deny his love. This is the cycle of the Trinity. God's revelation to us as it continues today and into the future. It is through this continuing cycle of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit that we come face to face with God and his eternal love. Upon entering the eternal kingdom of God, then, the Trinity will no longer be necessary. For God will be completely revealed to us, and we will live in his ultimate creation of love. The Trinity, simply put, is God revealing himself to us. Now, the question remains, how do we receive this Trinity? How do we receive this revelation and choose to live it? That's the question that we all must answer ourselves. It's there for us to receive. And it's there for us to live. In a nutshell, it's Holy Trinity Sunday. That is the Trinity. Amen.